Yo, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, what it do? It's your boy, Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
And welcome to another episode of Lace Rounds, where we get giving it to you for the culture by the culture. You and these ad-libs.
Hey, I try.
Man, back once again.
Yes, we are. A long weekend, right, Steve?
Yes, I'm not going to lie to y'all. Kind of not drunk, but I'm tipping right now.
Okay, he's tipping. He's sitting sideways.
Yes. All right. Absolutely. All I'm going to say, I said from the last 2-3 episodes I wasn't going to drink again. Well, that was a lie.
That was a lie, okay? Maury hit you with a lie detector test on that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I can dig it. Well, go on ahead and tell the people what you got into this weekend.
Oh, man. Nothing. Starting off by seeing the greatest rapper ever, the GOAT, Kendrick Lamar.
Yes,
Kendrick Lamar. You know, that was
Kung
fun.
Fu like, Kenny, yeah. K-Dot.
Yes, him putting on a phenomenal show. A fucking phenomenal show. Like, really.
Yes.
Like, beginning to end, it was, like, had the energy just going in. I love the fact that he did the whole album. Not too many artists do that. Mm-hmm. They always do, like, 4 or 5 cuts and then they resort to like their classics though, but it was good actually seeing him touch the whole album, and he barely hit us with any classics, so I enjoyed that.
I feel like it was a great blend. You know, first and foremost, it was great running into you up there.
Oh yeah,
and everything.
It was.
We acting like it wasn't premeditated, but
yeah, she was stunned. She had on some off-white, so
okay,
yeah.
slightly. All right, Steve, don't just throw me out there as if I'm the only one that was out there showing up and showing out. You had the Travis Scott's on the Sixes,
I did.
All right, you know, the glow in the dark, daddies, those was really smooth.
Absolutely.
It was a really nice, it was a really good look for the city, especially
absolutely.
It was just a lot of beautiful people out, and like you said, he just went in from beginning to end, and it was just so amazing, because with some artists you get to their show and then it's like, all right, they pull out a song like you don't really know it or what the case may be, but I'm like, every fucking song,
everybody
slapped. It was like no surprises in there. It was just
at all.
It was, oh my goodness. And then also just a kind of a disclaimer for those of you guys that haven't had the opportunity to see it, or anyone that had any type of like reservations against going to the show because of the clips that they were showing on the internet. Because I'll be so transparent with you guys right now. Like, when I first saw this nigga with this dummy and like getting a COVID test on stage, I hit up Steve because we had got these tickets back in May? Or was it? It was May.
May, June.
Like, pretty much May though. It was like, man, I don't know, like, I'm seeing these clips, like, you know, going around, know how I'm gonna feel about this shit, kind of look a little weird, you know.
But
I'm gonna be honest with you guys, it all actually ties into it.
It really
like everything has meaning, and the way that he laid out the whole like performance, it was just really, it was one of his best shows. And Steve and I were talking about it earlier on the fact of us, you know, seeing him in so many different through the transition of his career, from Good Kid, M.A.A.d City all the way up until Mr. Morale now. And this is Kendrick purely at his best.
Just
gave us nothing but bangers. The transitions between the songs were like real, you know, seamless. It was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
For everybody that was thinking that Kendrick is not for the kids, let me touch on this real quick. I'm walking up to the line, meet two older adults, like, really just had to be my age. We all talking, you know, just excited to see Kendrick, and then see these two kids just walk up. It was like, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm going to be rapping every word. I was like, y'all like Kendrick? It was like, yeah, I love Kendrick. And then they was like, our dads you talking to, they're taking us to this show. I'm just saying to myself, get the fuck out of here. And these kids had to be in like, probably like, at least like 10, 11 years old. But it didn't stop there. The section that I was sitting at and watching it, from my view, I see literally an 8-year-old girl rapping every single fucking song.
That's impressive.
Every single song. So that lets you know, like, he got a lot of power.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he has power. And, like, not only we watched him from our lens, just his beginnings into now, though. But it's dope to see the kids growing up and listening to him, and you know, just being a fan, like, and just really just, I'm gonna just say it, you got some of these kids just idolizing him, and that's not bad because he a real positive dude, and I love the fact that I seen that. And y'all gonna hate me when I say this, and I still stand on this. Jay, we love what you done for the culture.
Man,
but move that seat over and give it to Kendrick Lamar. You have to. You have to. Like, what he's doing, like, even, like, right now is just, it's just simply amazing. And, like, you can't deny it. It's like y'all trying to deny LeBron, and y'all don't want to goat him, but you got to give it up. And the seat, you got to move that seat over.
I don't think that's Jay's call to make. I think that's, like, it goes to the whole, you know, consensus of the people. And then, like, I, like you and I said, like, ultimately, like, it's, people kind of get with the whole GOAT aspect, and they think of greatest of all time. But, you know, like, we're not in a day and age where it's just one fucking GOAT running around the earth.
It's
multiple GOATs. Yeah. So, he definitely has, no matter what your, what, no matter how you feel about him for any reason, which I couldn't imagine anyone not, you know, right, having any, yeah, putting any respect, yeah, on Kendrick's name, yeah, but for whatever reason, whatever thing, you know, he just may not do it for you, you know, like
and that's okay. That's
like my guy Toby Wigway and Steven, because I love that nigga. I love Toby, but Steven, like, he just don't click for me. So it's like, all right, I get it, because he's amazing, him and his wife and everything they're doing over there with that mint green. But anyways, other, you know, but regardless, you gotta respect that, though, yeah, right? So it's like, that's where we stand on it. It's you know, if anyone wants to go on ahead, we all got our own personal preferences. If you guys want to crown him or not, he's definitely has to be a part of the conversation if you actually are really listening to, like, the music. If if you're not, it's all good too. Right. You know, hey, we'll you know, we'll take
right
that,
no, but, yeah, it is what, yeah, it is. And another thing that I seen and gotta call this out was just fucking crazy. Y'all are going too fucking far with these damn pandas. Everywhere I walked and turned while I was at the show, there goes a panda. Panda here, panda there, panda everywhere. It was
panda,
fucking
panda, panda.
It was pandemonium. Like, it was bad. Like, yo.
Pandemic.
Pandemic.
But
the pandemic.
The pandemic
pandas.
In their defense, it's like, I understand the whole aspect, and it's all about individuality. If you want to, you know, come out and do that, that's what you want to do. I'm all good. It's just the point on, if you want to, like, you know, you want to throw some darts or something like that, you don't want that a part of your,
no.
You don't want that a part of your Carfax.
No, exactly. So, yeah.
But aside from all the pandas and everything, I definitely seen some really good looks out there. Ran into some really, I'm sure you ran into, you know, few people also. Uh-huh. So that was really dope. You know, that's one of the best things about the concerts I hear. You run into people that you haven't seen in like 4 or 5 years. And it's like, you just all uniting and pretty much just, you know, coming under the artist of fellowshipping.
Oh, no,
you
yeah, know? Absolutely. So break bread.
Yeah,
shit, exactly. I lost my voice that night.
Okay, yeah, and I think my brother's just getting his back. So, you know, shout out to those and having that day of being able to recoup on that, because, man, that was just, it was a, what a time.
Oh, yeah. But overall, that night was fun. Other than me getting stuck at the Cosmo for like 3 fucking hours.
Okay.
That was bad. That was bad, though. But
I tell the people why you got stuck at the Cosmo.
Okay, so what I didn't know is, we decided to park at the Cosmo, and we caught the tram there. So we was thinking, okay, this is going to be an in and out thing. We'll be able to get up out of here, you know. So we get into the parking lot. Yeah, the parking garage. We seen like 2-3 lines of like cars, and they wasn't moving. We like, what the hell going on? Come to find out, the same night Kendrick had his show at T-Mobile, Kehlani had her show at the Cosmo, and a lot of people was there for that show, but also parked at the Cosmo for the Kendrick show. So yeah, when I say niggas was stuck, we were stuck.
And if you've ever been in anything like that, you just know that that's the place that you just never want to be. It's like, okay, you can just go on ahead, and if I can walk and, you know, I'm stuck in traffic like that, it's so frustrating. But man, yeah, like, you know, the traffic guys looked out for you, girl, that night, and I parked in a place that I'd rather go ahead and not mention for future references. I'm going ahead and keep that on a low-ski, low-ski.
Right.
But yeah, man, like, but ultimately, I saw you made the most out of that. You did. You guys, you know, hit the little spot up there. You got your little chicken sandwiches and what, everything. No, I saw your video.
Yeah.
So
no, yeah,
for
we
those
did.
Of you guys that don't follow SkeeterSteve87 on Instagram, definitely do so, because, you know, he does a great job on putting his reels together and everything. So,
oh, yeah, I'm trying to get good at this, you know.
Yeah, no, you're getting good at it. I seen it. I was like, okay, check them out. Because we were at the same show, but it's like looking at the difference, the contrast of pretty much from my vision and your vision and everything. It's like, it was really dope to like see the fact that from the perspective of two different, you know, people at the same spot.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. All right, before we get on with the good shit, though.
Well, this is the good shit. We're about to get into some honorable mentions.
Yes. And this is an actually good honorable mention for all my people that does podcasts, content creators, marketers, business owners, entrepreneurs. The Revolt is doing their annually Revolt Summit that they do every year. And this year, it will be in good old ATL, because normally when they started out, they were hitting like three cities, ATL, Houston, and LA, though. But, COVID kind of fucked everything up and whatnot, though. So hopefully they get back to that, though. But it's good to see them doing this. And this year is going to be in Atlanta. And pretty much, though, it's a two-day event where, you know, you have live talks, panels, performances, and competitions, like, you know, from everybody, where you up there getting knowledge on business, creating content, hip-hop artists, and just the digital platforms, like everything, though. So I mean, just being honest, so this is where you need to be if, like, you really want to step your game up and just level up, just being in the room and with same like-minded people as you, and you guys sharing knowledge, exchanging numbers, cards, and even possibly collabing and networking with one another. So I mean, you guys definitely don't want to miss this. So like right now, they still have the early bird ticket. The general admission is $100, pretty much $99, and they have a early bird insider, which is $250, and that gives you fast passes to the Revolt, complimentary drink tickets, an artist meet and greet, and even the same thing as a regular one, where you're getting designated 18 hours one-on-one time with speed mentoring sessions. So this is something, if you're looking to step your game up, like I just said, hey, this is where you need to be.
Yes. What better way than to be around your people and, you know, again, get into that whole fellowshipping of, you know, surrounding yourself with the like-minded individuals and just getting that streamline of support. I think that this is going to be a phenomenal event. And, you know, shout out to Revolt, you know, Sir Puffy Diddy Combs, you know, and the entire team that, you know, makes this happen for us, you know, because this is strictly an event that I feel as though is for the culture, because we come in contact with just so many different aspects of these conventions and these type of events, but it's nothing kind of catered to our demographic to a certain extent. So that's definitely noteworthy, and, you know.
Look at her, y'all. Look at her.
I touched the board. I did, and I hit the right button this time around. So that's what's up. We're going to get some new sounds going, too, for y'all, soon. Soon.
Yeah,
I got
absolutely one
in mind right now.
Okay.
Right.
Next up, Dr. Dre and Missy Elliott to be presented at the RAA Honors and the Pioneers of the Hip-Hop event. Dr. Dre and Missy will host the Recording Industry Association America event September 14th in Washington, D.C., and the ceremony will honor MC Light, Grandmaster Flash, Universal Music Group's Jeff Harlson, the House of the Democratic Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries, and others who all push the culture forward, you know. And on top of that, while that's going on, too, as of tomorrow in Missy's hometown, they're giving her own street name.
Oh my goodness. All right.
Yes. Giving her her own street name and pretty much.
Well, Melissa Elliott.
And even the chairman, Mitch Glazer, had to say in a statement, congratulations to everybody that's winning and contributions to this diverse musical landscape and setting the stage for creators to come. So, I mean, that is dope. That's, for me, like, that's dope, you know? So,
oh, no, I think that's phenomenal, especially, you know, to get these two creator, these two, you know, goats,
Yeah.
We were just talking about multiple goats, right? So, yeah, to get both of them, you know, on stage and actually allow them to go on ahead and be able to recognize other up-and-coming artists, that's phenomenal. I think that's amazing. And who better than Dr. Dre and Missy? So,
yes.
You know, it's really amazing when we're able to, when everything's able to come full circle and individuals, you know, such as Missy, Dr. Dre are able to receive this type of recognition while also passing the torch to other up-and-coming, you know, individuals as well.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, here at LA Sounds, we always give our flowers. So, you know,
yes.
shout out to Dre and shout out to Missy. All right.
As we get into this commentary for the culture.
Yes. A lot of spiciness this week. Starting off with, oops, Latto tried to call out the performers and the people that she was supposed to do a performance with. But she kind of skipped out, and she refused to accept her remaining balance of her money that she was supposed to get paid on Zelle. So she made a whole huge tirade saying that, oh, yeah, they never ain't paid me, yada, 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 this and that, though. But they ended up responding back, was just saying, we became the offer to pay Latto her $5,000 remaining balance in Zelle and the rest in cash. But she pulled out because she only wanted cash, and then goes on IG to say that we didn't have her money though. But they were trying to offer to pay you in Zelle, and we all know if you have Zelle, that shit is automatically going straight to your account. Mm-hmm. It's not going anywhere else.
Okay.
So I mean,
okay, give it to me. So all right. On this one, you feel as though that Latto was wrong for that.
I didn't say wrong. I wouldn't say wrong. My only thing is that, you know, if you wanted it in cash, like, we could have just kept it at that. Like, there was no need to go on IG and just make a whole tirade about that. Like that's just all, like, for me. Like, if somebody, like, owed me cash or something, man, I'm not finna go to social media and be like, oh, this nigga ain't paying me. There's no need for all of that.
No, I get it. And I feel as though that the reason why, you know, just kind of looking from the outside in is that she wanted to make sure that she save face with her fans or whoever came out to see her in a respect that, hey, the business wasn't actually handled the way that it should have been up front.
Right.
In that kind of deal, like, you think about it and you think about Zelle, right? You think about the whole IRS situation.
Yeah, with Cash App.
Cash App, Zelle, and everything. Zelle. Mm-hmm. And you think about the fact that she probably, like, specifically told them to pay her in cash, right?
Yeah.
For a reason, you know? Because I'm assuming that she pretty much wanted this to go under the radar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, it's one of those things where you balancing out the scales. It's like, all right, well, she came out to go ahead and save face to a certain extent, but ultimately they did not have her money the way that she wanted it. Like, even with my mom's, like, it's so weird. Like, I remember, like, in the fact of, like, all right, mom, like, you know, let me get $100. She's like, okay, well, you got to give it back to me the way I gave it to you. And she didn't mean, like, giving her, like, a $100 bill. Uh-huh. If she gave me two 20s, a 10, and a $50 bill, she wanted it exactly back like that.
Oh,
that's
shit.
How weird. That's how fucking grimy she was. I was like, oh, man. So, so long story short, it made me a better woman. It made me never want to ask her for shit else again. I haven't touched her since teen years, but I'm just saying. Like, in this one right here, I'm sure that she was very specific on the fact that she wanted to be paid out in cash for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then for them to go on ahead and throw her out there also, it's like, for us to see that now, I know why she probably wants to be paid in cash. And if I'm someone looking on now, I'm like, okay, like, it's kind of almost like dry snitching in this situation now.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, you know, she wants to be paid cash because, you know, like, not... you know, you connect the dots.
Yeah.
So because we wanted to do things the right way and pay you through our LLC and send right, the money to, right. because we want to get a 1099 right, type shit, right. you couldn't do the performance. It's like, you know, so it just seemed kind of dry snitching to me. And it's like, you know, with that one, like, okay, like she told you that she wanted to be paid in cash. Right, I didn't have the cash. Right. So it just kind of seems like some wires got crossed, but it's like you said, it's no right or wrong on that. It's just, I found this one pretty funny because it was like, hey, all right, so Lotto trying to really cash in, cash out. Right. Like,
cash in, cash out.
And at this point, yeah, paper trails and all that kind of stuff is like, all right, man.
No, yeah.
Give me my shit in cash.
Right. No, I feel it. I get it. All right. Moving on. You know, not really just need to go in depth with this one, though, but I mean, it's just really exciting news to hear, you know. Lil Wayne and Joel Santana reunite in the studio to work on his upcoming album, The Carter Six. You know,
okay.
Lil Wayne and Joel are looking to pick up where they left off at, you know, after seeing footage of Surfing Sin and them in the studio working on The Carter Six. You know, Joel went on his Instagram showing videos of him and Weezy in the studio and him just talking about, you know, all I'm going to say, Wayne is my brother. We never... not worked on music outside of each other as well together. So for us to do, to try to make an attempt to do I Can't Feel My Face, which we know at that time in the middle of, like, you know, 2005 and 6, like, honestly, like, them two were, like, killing the game. And just think about, like, you know, if they were able to do that, you know, but it didn't happen, though. But I'm just happy, you know, we're here, Carter Six, and... not trying to have a huge expectation, though, but all the features that Wayne has been on lately, he been killing it. So I mean, like, I'm very
Wayne has been killing it.
I'm very excited to hear these two on a record together.
Yeah, I'm excited also. I haven't heard anything recently of Joel's, you know, so
yeah,
but
that, after that beatdown they got not too long ago.
Oh my goodness. But that was like, that was messed up because of the fact that those was old tracks.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, it's like, okay, that wasn't even new music.
Right.
But, you know, this should be pretty cool, especially coming into the Carter Six. It's just, it's always been dope whenever we could get Joel's and Lil Wayne together in the studio because, I haven't really heard anything like the last. My favorite song from them too. I forget which Carter it's on. I feel like it's on the Carter 3, but it's like, I got money like a motherfucker.
Oh yeah,
he ain't got nothing on me.
Yeah, and Mons is from Joel's with the game. It's missing a boy. Let me show you how to rip that crack. Yeah,
okay,
that's my joint. That's my joint right there, though. So but, I mean, for them to do this, like. Like I said, man, I'm excited for it.
Let's go on ahead and connect the dots because we've been getting a whole lot of the even with the DJ Premier and what he was able to do with Wayne and Slick Rick.
Oh yeah,
all that. It's like, hey, this stuff has been working out lately. So let's go on ahead and keep the good times rolling. So
right.
All right. Speaking of Wayne,
Turk.
Okay.
Turk was recently on Drink Champs not too long ago. And, you know, he has some shit to say to Gilly the Kid. So, yeah, we're going to play this real quick so y'all can check this out, like what he had to say. This is wild.
Go for him. You ain't right for no Lil Wayne.
Nope.
Go for him. You ain't right for no Lil Wayne, nigga. You ain't right for Lil Wayne, and I stand on that. Shorty been doing this shit. You a clout chaser. Now talk about that.
And for everybody that hasn't seen that clip, you guys, you have to go on ahead and actually see the clip.
Right.
But it's this thing that Turk does in the video where he does this neck roll. You ain't right for Lil Wayne, no good. Like,
talk about that.
Yeah, man. He definitely was like, sauce. He was sauce. And he was very passionate about that. So
I mean, with Turk saying that, I mean, do we still believe Gilly? Do we believe Turk? Like, I'm at this point, I don't know what and who to believe.
Yeah, we weren't in a studio, so like with the creative process and everything, it's really hard to like really weigh in on that to say yes or no. Of course, Turk was definitely there in the beginning years. Yeah, the whole cash money.
But there was
a situation where, you know, the roads were splintered. So in the time that Gilly, allegedly started writing for him, Turk wasn't really even in the picture at that time.
He was gone by then.
So it's like, okay, well, I understand that we're going to have to see Wayne on $1 million worth of game to clear that up. Right. But I'm sure we probably won't see that shit.
Right at all.
You know? We got Wayne and fucking Jay-Z on a track again together before we got him on $1 million worth of game. So that's interesting.
It is.
That was just really, really funny on that aspect. The way Turk came out. And it definitely raises the eyebrow and the question of the whole validity of it and everything. But at this point, it's like, all right, well, Wayne is still he's still really nice in the studio. He's still just really breezing through these bars. So, and Gilly's doing his own thing. I just kind of when stuff like this resurface, it was more so for the whole funny aspect of
absolutely.
His delivery on that shit, the way he did that shit.
Right. No,
that shoulder
really
shimmy.
Right.
That was the moment for me.
Absolutely. All right. Before we get into this, the Lace report, we got one more for you, which was kind of spicy.
Yeah, this one was a little caliente.
Yeah, no, it really was. Lil Kim denies 50 Cent claim she dissed Nicki Minaj on the Child Plan B remix, where she went on IG and said, "I never said a word about anyone's child. Please feel free to listen to the song where we were clearly talking about an ex. Try to twist my words to have an excuse to take digs at my child is disgusting. I'm one of the most disrespected legends in the game. Oh, shit. But what you will not do is come for my child." Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was really, don't get me wrong. I'm sure, with everyone, if anyone, whoever follows 50, you know that this nigga definitely is a
ultimate
shit star.
Yeah, pettiness.
He is just an instigator, which is so funny because I promise you, I was just waiting for him. Like, it was almost like having a rock roller on a leash, ready for him to get fucking J.C. on Taylor. I was waiting for him to get that nigga, get him 50.
Right.
Because normally it's like 50 just kind of come at people for no reason. And it's he's been begging for it. But I guess that's the whole essence of it. You don't want to if somebody's, you don't want to go into that type of deal, eventually made his way over to the game
Absolutely.
Took his little jabs, with this one, I 50 did actually say something along the lines, his caption on it was he alluded to, which ultimately that picture that he did post to Little Kim, it was a little funny, Little Kim next to Al. Good joke. Funny is funny. We had this rule in my household where if it's funny, you are not in trouble. So that one was was actually funny in comparison to, just bad fashion and bad choices. Her whole, team that day, her glam squad, they kind of really steered her in the wrong direction. So there's no excuse for that. We're going to go on ahead and give that to her.
But
what he said about her child's eye, that was really uncalled for because
that wasn't cool.
That wasn't cool at all because if you listen to the song, the Plan B song with Megan Thee Stallion or whatever the case may be that Kim was on, they clearly were talking about a man. They were talking about an ex. And it didn't allude to, as far as any type of Nicki Minaj situation.
I
feel as though that whenever you're going through people, that whole instigating shit, we got it, we don't do it personally, as a collective, that shit's dead. That shit's whack as fuck we're getting to the point right now where people are actually, moving towards other things, on trying to really uplift the culture, and you're trying to slow us down by going back and
sucker shit.
Yeah, backtracking and just really kind of throwing shit out that doesn't have any validity to it. Right. It's like, if anything, that song did the opposite.
Yeah.
Because people went and listened to it to see, she's dissing Nicki Minaj or whatever the case may be. But ultimately, it really begs the question. One thing that Kim did say on here that was really interesting is that I'm one of the most disrespected legends in the game. And
how y'all feel about that?
It really begs the question. Yeah. Is Little Kim the most disrespected legend in the game?
Gonna make a poll for that. So all our viewers, all our listeners, we want to know, do you feel like she's the most disrespected female rapper in the game? Because for me, I feel it is a slight yes for me, just because when everybody was rapping, they wasn't doing the whole sex appeal. Kim brought that sex appeal aspect to the game. And, like, if we're going to call people OGs, she is the OG of all OGs of that. Like,
yeah,
you know,
she really birthed. Yeah. She really birthed this whole, you know, female rap, you know, genre. Yeah. Like, you know, she's really their big homie. But when we get into it, it's like, okay, well, Kim, I definitely say, yeah, she's one of the most disrespected legends, simply because she gets it from, not only does she get it from the Barbs, but she also gets it from the Beehive.
Yeah.
Because
which
Little
is crazy.
Little Kim was actually the first queen bee. She didn't, you know.
Facts.
She didn't necessarily, like, you know. That was just who she was.
Right,
it wasn't as if she was capping or anything like that. She went and did her bid, came back, and that was just pretty much what it was. And it's like, okay, well, and then you have that situation where people want to degrade her and everything and play that tug of war.
Right.
Like, oh, no, she's not the real Queen Bee. It's like, she was the original Queen Bee.
Right.
Okay, so that, let's get that straightened out.
Uh-huh.
And then also with the Barbs and everything with her and Nicki Minaj, it's just like, you know, it's a real petty tug of war.
Yes.
Some of the things, I'm not going to even lie, Kim definitely does bring some things on herself in a sense of just the whole appearance aspect and just the different things that she's done to herself physically.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we look at her and we're like, oh my goodness, you are so gorgeous. Why did you do all this to yourself? So I feel as though that's kind of sort of where a lot of the, you know, some of the jokes are kind of like come in. But skill wise and the fact of her actually being there and being solidified in the game, that's of no question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's
absolutely.
Like to keep on going back and forth on that and for people to just like anytime they, you know, it's like, oh, shit, I don't got nothing else to do. Let's take a shot at Little Kim today. It's like a real easy target. And she's very quiet and humble. And
you don't see her kind of go back and forth on that shit. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's a lot of other people, like I was just saying, that was in line that 50 could definitely go on ahead and give us some laughs on before he goes in and, you know, attacks Little Kim and her child. So that was one of the things as well. But as far as being solidified and just really getting that type of, you know, respect in the game and everything, I don't feel as though that she receives what she deserves.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more because, like, when you look at that tree, I mean, you know, Kim really was the root. And then after Kim, here comes Foxy, here comes Emelian, here comes Vida, here comes Charlie Baltimore, here comes Shauna, here comes Trina, here comes Kia. Like, you, all of them.
Did
just,
you call that bitch Kia?
Kia, whatever her name is. The chick that's seen my neck, my back, whatever.
Man,
her crazy ass.
You hilarious.
But I mean, just like when you look at it and just that, just everybody who spawned off of her tree, like, she really set that off, though. So, Kim, I just want to say this. Here at Lace Rhymes, like, you're respected. You're our OG of all OGs. So, like, for real, don't let these motherfuckers do you like that. You know, real people know what's up. And here, we know what it is. We definitely know what it is here. All right.
I'm still stuck on Kia.
Oh, you still stuck on that?
I'm still stuck on that because that's just funny to me, but I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to get
okay,
a gavel.
All right. Lace Report, man.
Yeah, let's get into that. The sneakers.
This was crazy. But you know what, though? It was crazy, but at the same token, I'm not mad at it.
Okay.
I'm really not mad at it. Memphis Nike trailer gets jacked big time. Like, they really just went in, out there, manhandled, and got what they got.
Mm-hmm.
Like, orders on shoes that's supposed to be coming out in these next couple of months, got them.
They did. They were, you know, this was definitely one of those type of heists where what they got off a lot with the some of the Christmas drops, the 11s, the cherry 11s, and
they also got the fours,
and they got those black and chrome sixes.
Yeah.
But one thing I did not see in that picture, I did not see any of those Jordan 1s.
Oh, yeah, the
reimagines.
First they called the reimagines, Chicago's, the mom
what's
and
the
pops.
New, what's the new names
of them? The mom and pops.
Okay, yeah,
the
which
mom
Nike actually did an amazing job from what I've seen on the packaging. And this is one of the things, because you come at me and you say all this shit about my shoes, shoe size and everything, and you're like, oh, because you did it. But when it comes down to that actual, like, that detailed packaging, I'm willing to bet that they're going to give pretty much six and under those, like, just a regular black box or Nike box. And you guys are going to get that good packaging. We don't get those. We don't ever really get the keychains and all of that kind of stuff, too. No. I'm just saying. It's a give and take. It's a give and take. Okay. So we got to, I just want to throw that out there. Okay. Because I looked at the packaging and I'm like, oh, that looks amazing. But I'm more than certain that I'm not going to be able to partake in any of that. As far as this one goes with the whole Memphis situation, it kind of more so, it's giving inside job to me. It's giving.
Could be. Maybe.
I think because the thing, like, when we think about it right now, the whole resale culture is kind of like it's taking a dive, right?
Yeah.
All right. So one of the things that I kind of looked at, you know, going into woke sneaker talk right now is the fact that.
Woke sneaker talk.
Think about Nike, and you know, I think about Nike, and I think about, you know, the type of trust issues that I have with Nike as a corporation, just simply because it was just bought out to the carpet about a year ago of this woman's son that just had the whole inside track. In addition to that, like the whole Marcus Jordan and all of that, and name drops, whatever. But it's just the point that a lot of like shady shit kind of comes out of this, and I feel as though like also with Nike and the whole resale culture, like they've thrived off of it. They've allowed
to actually
be a source of marketing and scarcity marketing is a big thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like these, from the moment that the Cherry 11s came out, it was pretty much like everyone in the polls and in the comments, oh, I'm not really checking for those. Right? So what better way to more or less kind of drive up the desire for them is to kind of create some sort of a scarcity marketing tactic. Because when you look at these trailers and everything, this isn't just one trailer and it's just, you know, hey, you know, a heist or whatever. This was like multiple trailers.
Yeah.
And then you got all these people like, and that's another excuse too when it comes around for those that actually did want the shoes now.
Right.
It's like the resellers are going to be able to eat a little bit off of this because it's quote unquote limited pairs now.
Right.
So it's a little bit more desired. Like, unless you live in Memphis, but it's like, you know, we're not going to see those pairs like that in that case. But, you know, like I said, I feel as though that it really more so gives to me, you know, just like I said, conspiracy theory, whatever, that this possibly could have been an inside job.
You
on
your X-Files shit right now.
Hey, man, just think about it. Just think about it. That this could have possibly been an inside job drive up the fact of making them more desirable because of the fact that they're going to be more limited now because, hey, we don't have them. Like, remember when the 7-Eleven Dunks first came out?
Yeah.
Like, everybody was like, oh, no, I'm cool on those. I don't want them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Nike pulled it, right?
Yep, they pulled it.
And they were like, okay, well, you know, they're not coming out. Now, those I can't remember, but I know they're definitely within the thousands because a couple of pairs did actually out.
Yeah, they did.
And because they went out and they're now a limited, you know, shoe, it's like, okay, now they're desired, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the same thing kind of started with the Cherries in a sense, because unless you're living in Memphis and you're doing a hand-to-hand sales and all of that, it's like it's not in your area. So in my opinion, it's kind of giving PPP. You know, like, it's giving setup.
Oh my god.
That was just what I seen on it. It's like it was the feels on it.
No, I definitely feel you on that though. I'm definitely with you. Could be some conspiracy shit behind that though, but hey.
Yeah, because we're talking about these multiple trailers and it's just like even if say for instance Nike didn't know shit or whatever the case may be, somebody told them, you know, I'm gonna look the other way and all this and that.
Right.
And it's a reason also, like, you know, because in some states, if they kind of catch you doing something like that, they could shoot you on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, come on now. Like, And this isn't a brand new, you know, they've been moving sneakers through there.
Oh, no, yeah, so, absolutely. No, absolutely. I'm with you on that. All right, next up. I can't believe y'all hurt my feelings with this one. Nike Air Max attacks returning in 2023. But when we did these polls, a lot of y'all wasn't feeling them. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I believe, I feel as though it was just you and I. I can't remember another person that said cop on these, but you and I definitely did say cop on these. I I'm excited for them. They kind of they really, for those of you guys that are unfamiliar with the Nike Air Mac Attack, it kind of gives a resemblance between the Nike Airship.
Yep.
And I just feel as though it's going to be a really nice, you know, nice sleek shoe, nice neutral shoe, give you kind of more of those 90 vibes and everything.
Yes, and yeah.
And it reminds me of like the New Balance 550 kind of style, you know, with that type of bottom and everything. Yes. And you know, sweatpants and all that. But all it's going to take, Steve, is a couple of different colorways, and they're going to eat it up.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, though. And this falls into one of Nike's, you know, minis, you know, sneaker lines that they were doing for tennis players back in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, this is like, you know, the first time of this shoe. And it will make its return in 2023. The last time this shoe came out was in 1984, and we haven't seen it since. And it's coming in a light silver and black color blocking, you know, and with mesh and leather materials with a nylon tongue and the check tongue labels with the red Nike Air branding. So I'm just going to say I'm excited for this. And so when this drop, I can't wait for this to drop, because I will be one of these guys that's going to be getting their hands on these.
Yeah, I hope they come out, you know, maybe January, February, so you can still kind of do the whole, like, the sweatpants, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Trying but not trying look.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Like, for me, yeah.
That kind of casual.
Yeah, like,
chic
yeah,
look.
Yeah. For me, I'll, like, with that, I'll easily do sweatpants and flannel.
Cool. Oh, yeah. That's going to be very smooth. So,
yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we got the Stussy and Nike collab during the Air Penny 2, all black. and we know how Nikki feel about all black.
But
sneakers.
you saw what I said on these. I said I gave these a cop. I did give them a cop.
Hey.
Because you know, with Air Pennies, you just really, aside from like the foam posits,
right?
Like, you know, those are just classic shoes.
Right,
they're
right,
just
right.
Ultra nostalgic. So it's like,
right.
By them being all black, I'm not gonna lie, they are giving skid resistant McDonald's worker. They are giving all of the fast food vibes of, you know, hey. You know, the HIPAA compliant, no, the OSHA compliant, you know, shoes that you got to wear, you know, behind the cash register and shit like that in the kitchen. But basically, like, I do like the whole Stussy logo, you know, the whole, you know, logo on the side of it. And I think that these are going to be fun. Personally, for me, I still stand on the fact that the whole all black situation, but if I were to do a black one, this is definitely not a this isn't a total disappointment. I think it's gonna look better on, like I said, a man's foot. Okay. You know,
and you could check the laces out with these too.
Yeah, with white laces, I think that would definitely white laces would definitely set that off. I think that would bring out that Stussy there too.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well, so I think would be really, really nice. But yeah, this one, if it were to be a black shoe, I wouldn't be upset with this one. It's definitely a lot more fashion forward, in my opinion, than say some all black.
There you have it, guys. We got a winner. Yes. She likes a black shoe. Yeah.
You're a part of the design team on this one, Steve?
Oh, no. But I wish I was.
He said we did it. Yeah. He said when I seen this one, I knew that we could make you go on ahead and compromise your standards.
Yes. See, look, and see, that's what I'm talking about, baby. Compromise, see?
Nah. Compromising. I definitely, like I said, I still stand on what I stand on as far as the black shoe. This one just isn't as, you know, it's not that. I would prefer to see it. I know my son's not going to be able to get that in his shoe size because, you know, he's not there yet. But I, you know, these aren't bad. And that's the thing about it, too. It's like you got to be able to be changeable as well. You got to understand that there is absolutely nothing that is absolute, and there's an exception to every rule.
Oh, check you out.
Yeah.
Dropping
a little. Right?
Yeah, check you out. All right, yeah, but the shoe is going to be coming out later on this year in the fall, and it's going to retail at $200. So, yeah, if you guys feel them, hold off to the money and get them. And I feel like this is going to be an easy cop. You know, a lot of people, I feel like that's going to skip out on them. So, if you're a fan of the pennies, I say cop them. All right, next up, we got the New Balance 550 marble head in the white and the gray.
Yeah, that looks almost like a cool gray. Yeah. There's definitely some cool gray in there.
And you know what, though? I'm not mad at this, though, because they've been doing, like, a really damn good job, especially with this model of New Balances, the 550s. Like, they are, like, very, very popular out here in this sneaker community right about now. Like, and I'm loving the fact that I'm seeing a lot of people, like, you know, wearing them. And they have, like, different colors in them. So for them to do something like this, which is basic, in my opinion, very, very basic. Mm-hmm. But it's also cool, though, too, at the same time.
Yeah, it's very, like, it's very neutral. I feel as though that it's a universal colorway. Uh-huh. I said cop on these just because of the fact that there's something that you can act. There's so much that you can actually
right,
do.
Right, right,
especially when it's going into the winter, the fall season and everything. Yeah. So these were pretty fun to me. We got a 64-36 split on that the cops having it.
Yep.
So this one was a really smooth one. Like I said, you got a couple of different variations of gray in there. You got like almost like a wolf gray, and you got the cool gray in there with some white, and it almost looks like some sail from the picture.
Right.
And yeah, $550. I don't feel as though that you can miss on this one. So if you're able to get your hand on the marble, New Balance 550 marble head, you know, go for it.
All right. And last up, which I thought was just pure, utterly trash.
You know what? These right here. Go ahead and give the description on this one, because this one was really funny, because I don't. It was one person. I feel as though that maybe gave us a cop on that.
Really? Oh, I think they did. Yeah.
One person. Gave us a cop.
But these are the Reebok Premier Road Modern. These are just good God, terrible, ugly. Now this is a black shoe. Nah. This shoe right here is giving me Burger King, McDonald's,
you know
Jack
what?
In the
this
Box
one too.
Vibes.
This one definitely, it does give you that kind of. This is more of the fast food worker shoe right here. You know, one of those Walmart delights. But one thing I noticed is that it looks like it has more of the whole rubber outer. So I figured. This is just like, you know, if I'm wrong, you know, I had a theory on these. If they probably did a sale on these and it was an Adidas as opposed to a Reebok, and it was a Yeezy as opposed to just being... they would eat it up.
Yeah,
This would be the future, man. This would be the wave of it all. And I see what Reebok is trying to do here, something for everyone. I feel as though that they probably should have maybe gotten with an influencer, you know, a good influencer to carry this. And like I said, if they went with more of the earthy tones as opposed to just doing all that black, I feel like this one could actually cross over.
But
it's a no right now. Yeah, it's definitely a no. Yeah. So it's an easy no. 89% drop, 11% cop.
Reebok was very
wrong.
They were wrong for that. But this is the deal. I could easily see even, you know, like I said, different, like a couple of different colorways. And if there was a Balenciaga stamped on there too, they would eat it up. So it's really unfortunate when you kind of come in contact with the companies like Reebok and ASICS and some of these other companies that don't necessarily have that type of recognition right now.
Yeah.
Because Balenciaga could steal this entire design and it'd be the hottest thing. That should be bigger than those socks.
Yeah.
Those socks.
But
before we get out of the lace report, as promised, this is actually our second time doing this
Unboxing.
Well, it's actually already unboxed at this moment.
And I'm so mad. I had the
honor of actually having the kick pick this week. And my selection is none. And just to kind of give you guys a little bit of backstory on the unboxing, we have the kick pick and we also have the classic corner. Mm-hmm. And Steven and I, we're actually going to go on ahead and pay homage to, you know, of course, the artist and one of our favorite pairs of shoes that we personally own. And I had the honor of actually choosing my kick pick this week. This is my choice. So I went with none other than the Air Max 90 Bacon.
Fire.
Yes. As we know that these were originally released back in 2004, a highly sought after shoe.
Yes.
And they were re-released last year. And, you know, as they kind of do their little thing on the market, I don't really care about what, how much, you know, and what they're doing as far as a StockX standpoint. Uh-huh. But these things right here are just none other than pure hot fire.
Yeah, I'm mad that I'm mad that you got those, and shout out to one of the OG heads, Lace Roms. He got those too.
Okay.
I hate both of y'all.
Okay, you hate, too. Hey. That's such a strong word. I can't take that kind of lightly, because you too can have a pair of these Bacons, especially right now. Everyone can. But you know, as of right now, like this is actually one of my favorite Air Max 90s, just because of the colorway. As you guys can see,
it's silhouette on that.
The silhouette is, you know, just unmatched.
Saucy.
The colorway, as far as, you know, the pink and how it just really accents that Bordeaux / kind of burgundy. And we have the brown and the cream, and it just all comes together. And it, you know, I don't eat pork, but you know, these are pretty nice here. Right. This is the closest that I'll come to it right now. The closest that I'll come to some bacon.
Right.
But the leather and just one of my favorite pairs. And I figure since it matched my nails, I'll go on ahead and bring this one out.
Check you out. Check you out.
Really?
Ooh.
Not really. You see that? You see that? You
know? Ooh. Okay. No, though, but today's unboxing, I ain't gonna front though. You really did that today. That was dope.
Yeah.
And another that's always been in my personal preference, because anybody that know me, they know I love runners, they know I love Air Maxes. That's like literally like one of my top 10 favorite Air Maxes of all time, through the lineage of all the Air Max sneakers. Like the Bacons always been dope, and pretty much in my opinion, very, very underrated. So I think I'm gonna have to go back and grab those.
Go on ahead and go grab those. And also those curry 90s.
Yes.
That's actually one of my another one. And then I like the red velvet Air Max 90s. Those are really, really sick. You
know what you're talking about.
They are red velvets.
Oh, red velvets?
They are red velvets. I feel like that's the name of them. Velvets. They were a Valentine release, but they're red velvets. And, you know, just you really don't miss too often with the Air Max 90s. Nike doesn't go too crazy with them. And, thanks again for allowing me to go on ahead and express my gratitude and how much I love those shoes. So,
absolutely. All right, check the ROM, y'all. Let's get into these albums. Wasn't really too much of a lot of releases going on this week, though, but even though the releases that we got, though, these picks were pretty good, pretty decent.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty decent. And we're going to start up first with the West Coast native, G. Mm-hmm. Perico, L.A. Summers 2.
Absolutely.
Short, simple, sweet. He got to the point, and I like it. You know, he stick to his style, his mesh of rapping, and just the lyrics and the delivery is just on point, though. But what I'm liking about this, like, you could definitely hear his growth as a person, as a man, him being more business-oriented, but still giving you that shit too at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And listening to it, I feel like it'd be you'd be real sauced up. But if you played a G Perico like drinking game, and you like took a drink every time this nigga said Enterprise.
Oh yeah. Hey, he said that so many times.
Enterprise.
The track listing, the click where he's introducing all his peeps, his folks, 10 Digits, Gangsters Anonymous. One of my highlights on this was Did A Lot. I liked the Did A Lot, this one. All I do is bust rhymes for it. I done did a lot. I done lost back to back and still ain't stopped. Going through the motions. Too much going on to be dealing with emotions. Gotta put this shit in motion. Can't be stagnant. Gotta keep going. Gotta come new every year. Hit the lot, trade that old shit in. Back against the walls. Man, like, that was, that one was dope. Babylon was dope. Echo was dope. Honestly, I like the whole project. I mean, 9 tracks, so, but 24 minutes, like, he was just getting straight to the point. As I keep on listening and listening to him more, I am really, really starting to become a heavy fan of G Perico, because I want to say like 2-3 years ago, I did not know who this nigga was.
Oh, man.
And like, I really wasn't. And when I would go visit or go kick it at my parents' house, I could hear my little brother, shout out to my little bro, Quincy. He's playing this nigga nonstop.
Okay, okay. Like, nonstop. All right, Quincy, like, coming through with the good ear.
Yeah, he loved G Perico, like, for real. Like, yes. That's his dude, though. So, for him to drop this project, and because I want to say, yeah, a couple of episodes back, we did review another one on here.
Yeah,
so
we did.
111th ESO. So, for him
to drop this project right, like, you know, for the end of the summer. I thought that was pretty cool.
No, yeah, it was. Yeah. So, and still staying consistent at the same time. So,
yeah,
because
I actually like this one a little bit more than I like the previous, what was it, 111th?
Yeah,
111th project wasn't bad, but I did enjoy this one as well, just on how smooth it flowed through. The what was it, six tracks? It was definitely under 30 minutes listen. Like Steve said, it got straight to the point, and and G Perico, like, he's just really one of those guys, either you're gonna love him or you're gonna hate him. It's really kind of almost hard to have an in-between on him,
right?
Because he has such a unique style,
yeah,
just
do.
The way his delivery is,
right?
And yeah, I've been listening to him for a while now, and man, he's definitely up there.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. So if you guys ain't checked this project out, go ahead and check it out. G Perico, L.A. Summers 2. Like, all right, next up, we got Madlib. Mm-hmm. Of course, one of the dopest producers in
absolutely.
The game. You know, doing a collab with LMD and Med, and the project is called Flying High. And you know what? I can't front. I enjoyed this one, too.
Okay.
This one was smooth, about good 13 tracks. Again, short, simple, sweet, 31 minutes, half an hour, you know, where you could easily get through this, get in and out. And, you know, from the production, that what they were doing on these projects was dope, from Into, Advice, Flying High, Pop Fly, Cool, The Cypher, Super, Steppers,
mm-hmm.
Birthday, High Stakes. I wasn't feeling the skits too much, though, but, you know, like...
Flying High was one of my
favorites. Yeah, yeah, definitely,
that
yeah.
was rightfully, you know, the title track, album
yes,
title track.
Yes,
that
yes.
was rightfully so.
Yes.
That was definitely one of my favorites.
Yes,
I feel.
And, yes.
I want to say Cool. Mm-hmm. The way that just how the beat and everything went, I would have loved to have heard Blue on that.
Oh, yeah. That would have been dope.
Been
yeah,
really,
that
really
been
nice.
Dope.
I was like,
that
oh, man,
dope.
That's the only thing that's missing
yeah.
on this one right now.
Yeah,
we would have been able to get the old
Blue
on there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know
yeah.
what we're doing right now. But, yeah, that this project overall, like, it's hard for Madlib to miss in my eyes just simply because he is such a legend.
Yes.
And his production, and he just has an amazing ear. I was fortunate enough to kind of hear some of the songs that some of the production that is on this album over at Day in Vegas last year. He kind of, you know, gave us a couple tracks that weren't released yet.
That
was real smooth. And overall, you know, it's really hard for him to miss in my eyes. I enjoyed the project. I listened to it like pretty much 3 or 4 times without, you know, skipping or taking anything off of it. So if you guys haven't had the opportunity to check out the Flying High with LMD and as well as Madlib
yes.
And Matt.
Yes, yes, yes. And shout out to the hip hop artist that was featured on that album, Fly Anakin. I see you, boy.
Okay.
I see you, man.
Okay.
You out here grinding. For real. Next up, last but not least, Pierre Bourne, good movie. And you know what? I can't front. This one wasn't too bad, but my biggest issue with it was long.
It was long as fuck.
Super long.
It was super long. I hate that this is actually the last one. I wish we maybe would have mixed them up a little bit so we could have ended on a better note with the music this week. Because I like, it does a little bit. I kind of got a little bit of OCD on that note. I like to end on a high note. This one wasn't actually my favorite this week, just simply because, like Steve said, the project was pretty long and drawn out. He did have some slappers on there. Like, I felt like there was a couple of tracks on there for the ladies. And also, you know, for my smooth dudes that, you know, don't mind maybe lighting an incense, a candle, clean up the house, you know, that kind of deal. Maybe something to spray your cologne to, whatever the case may be, whatever your vice is, your fancy picket there. But like Steve said, again, it was just really long and overdrawn out to the point where you didn't really it was really hard to actually say, oh, I like this yes, track and everything. I like that. But one thing I will give him, because as we know, Pierre is a great producer,
right,
is that a lot of the production and everything was just so flawless.
Yes, yeah, the it was
songs
good.
They went from you know, you didn't know where one song stopped and the other one started.
Yeah,
and they were just like his layout. He has that. It's just the point of like it just keep on going on and on and on. And I feel like if he maybe would have divided this up into maybe three different projects, I would probably have something different to come to you guys right now as. But just hearing it in its entirety right now, it just was it was pretty long for me.
No, yeah, no, absolutely. And the only standout track for me that I liked was this one, was Love Drill.
Okay.
Like, it just gave off just like a smooth vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, though, this is like really my only takeaway from this album, really.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some smooth ones on there, but go through the whole project to go find those damn songs. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see if I'm able, if I got time. But yeah, that one was pretty long and drawn out. But ultimately, if you're like not taking anything away from them, if maybe you're cleaning the house or, you know, whatever the case may be, doing something, you know, cooking, laundry, whatever the case may be around the house, and you're just looking for something to throw in that you're not going to have to sit there and just really put a lot of thought into and, you know, try to dissect any type of metaphors or anything of that sort, it's a good project in that regard. But again, these are our personal opinions, so you know, you guys let us know, you know, what your thoughts are. That was a good movie by Pierre Bourne.
No, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that was our week of Check the Rhyme. So pretty much let us know, like, in the comments and just with everything, if out of these three, like, what you feeling, like, you know. So that's what I want to see. I want to see y'all blow these comments up and just let us know, like, when we go through these albums, let us know if you feeling them. Let us know if you're not feeling them, or even let us know, hey, like, we wrong about some shit, like, for real, let us know.
Absolutely, because they definitely came with the smoke last week.
Oh yeah, they did. They definitely came with all the smoke,
all the preferences, and all that. It's no right or wrong for that.
Right,
you know, it's just what we like.
Yeah, like,
but
what
yeah,
we like.
They definitely lit us up on that.
No,
song.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, it's about that time. Let's get into this classic corner.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
All right. No further introduction. September 27, 2005.
DJ Paul and Juicy J Productions.
The People's Champ.
Free. Wall walkers, and we coming with the pump, pump, pump. Early shit. It's the rocks.
Man.
I
mean, there's no introduction.
Niggas, and we hit y'all with the pump, pump, pump. Early shit. Y'all better keep your weapons.
And Freeway killed this on here with him.
This is the way we ball. Bring the
rules. We can keep going.
If you really
took us on what Houston looked like, for real.
I definitely, this was, what a time, what a time. Because this was definitely around the time that Mike Jones, you know,
yeah,
was
Mike
coming
Jones,
out. We had that Chameleon area, Slim Thug. You know, Houston was definitely holding it down at that time, for sure.
Even this one, man.
Yeah,
everybody was playing this in their car.
Oh no, everybody had this as their MySpace. I got the internet going nuts. Hell yeah, this is one of my
right.
I definitely had this shit on my page.
Right. Everybody had this.
I
And even the big radio hit right here, Paul had him. Man.
Okay.
Man, Paul Wall, the people's champ. Before I get into this, though, you know, I got to shout out my mom, Mama Lindsay. She actually helped me with this pick.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was just dope because I had a, like, you know, was like, had a brain fart. I'm just like, damn, who should I do? Who should I do? Who should I do? My mom was all like, do Paul Wall. I was like, Paul Wall? She was like, yeah. She was like, no disrespect to M, like, you know, we love Eminem, mm-hmm. but from a cultural standpoint, Black people love Paul Wall.
Oh, absolutely. Paul Wall is so authentic.
Yeah, Black people love Paul Wall. And, like, you know, I was like, damn, you know what? You're right. So I just started, you know, just playing this all weekend. It just totally.
White people love Paul Wall. Like, man. Like white people love Brian Gumble.
Right. You know, for real, though. But you know what, though? With this album, did great numbers. Mm-hmm. Peaked at the Billboard, number 15, went 2x platinum. And what I love about this album so much, don't get me wrong, we love UGK. We love Scarface. We know they're from Texas, though. But for me, my perspective, my lens, when Paul Wall came out, he really gave us a glimpse on what Texas really, really is, in my opinion. Like, you know, like, we heard of these names, like, you know, DJ Screw and all of them, but the fact that he was mentioning it a lot in his records, and then just with the, you know, Cali has their car culture out there, and seeing Sitting Sideways for the first time, I'm like, damn,
this nigga's absolutely real,
riding through
absolutely.
Cadillacs, 15s in their cars, like, just a whole nine, and even the fact that, you know, always been about the culture, you know, grew up with Black people,
mm-hmm.
his wife is Black,
absolutely, and you know, yeah, it's man. Just when this album initially dropped, it was just an amazing time. And what I loved about Paul Wall and everything that was coming out of Houston at that time is that they knew how to ride their wave.
Yes.
It was like,
yes.
we got Chamillionaire, because initially when Paul Wall was coming up, him and Chamillionaire were rapping together and everything. Then they had mm-hmm. a fallout and, you know, so on and so forth. That's, you know, Texas, Houston politics. But one thing that I loved about them is that nobody, you know, for all of them, they didn't miss that bus.
Yeah, they
all hopped on, and they all, like, we got so much music at that time, so much culture, because even down to, like, we got the Slim Thug, like I was saying, we got the Chamillionaire. We got the Mike Jones. We got
Lil Flip,
exactly.
Yeah, man,
we got Paul Wall. And it was
crazy.
So funny because we used to, like, sit up and, like, just kind of, like, my brothers, they're just practical jokers and everything. They were, like, pretty much like Paul Wall's Bobby Hill growing up. You know, he sells grit, you know, like Hank Hill sells
right.
grit. He sells
God damn it, Bobby.
Right. Paul Wall, baby. I'm Bobby Hill, baby. Like, you know, he sells grills the whole nine.
Right.
But even down to, like, the whole grill culture, the fact that this was, like, really what he was known for. Aside from rapping, it was like before Johnny Dang
right,
and all of that.
Right.
Everyone was coming to Paul Wall for grills outside of, like, the whole hip hop and rap aspect.
Feature heavy. After this album, everybody wanted Paul Wall on their song. Like he was, like, really, really the guy to go to. And just, like, you know, the culture mm-hmm. For him just really embracing, you know, that Southern lifestyle
and being just, authentic yeah. with it. Yes, it's like, it's absolutely. One thing to kind of like hop on and everything too. And as you mentioned, he has a black wife. So it's like, I love that authenticity yes. and the aspect of when yes. it's, when it's authentic. Yes. And you know, I don't knock anybody that, you know, for whatever their preferences are, right, but absolutely. As long as you're staying true to what you want do, yes, and everything, and but,
stand on it.
But definitely like, if we had to like do the whole like race trading aspect of like oh, Dave yeah. Chappelle and everything, I'm trading a couple for Paul Wall.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, absolutely.
He is. He's been that. And, even from his interviews and even down to like what he's doing now, you know, oh, current man, to date,
yes.
he's still that guy. You know, Houston, oh man, like I really adore this time because like you said, we had got Ghetto Boys, yeah. we had Scarface,
UGK, yeah.
You know, just everything coming out of Rap-A-Lot at that time. Huh, and yes. outside of Rap-A-Lot, it wasn't, we didn't hear too much right. out of Houston, but he definitely put on for Swisher House. And
ooh.
Like, just even down to that time, like huge shout out to my man Frank, because by, you know, him putting me on so much putting me on so much music at that time and introducing me to Screw, it's ooh, like all of those man. Albums, it was just so, so amazing. Like right. we got it. Like, not only did we get Paul Wall, but at those times, everybody was screwing their album.
Yeah, that
because
was,
having what? that urban legend that
yeah.
yeah, that one yes. that like that Chopped and Screwed and then those R&B cuts, just it was just so what a time to be alive.
Man, one of my favorite songs that they had, Chopped and Screwed, like I love, like, hey, whoever did Mint Condition, Pretty Brown Eyes, Chopped and Screwed, hey, hey, y'all look, y'all real one, right? Hey, y'all.
Said, yeah. Hey, I'm gonna be so honest with you. That stuff used to mess me up too sometimes, like, cause like I used to smoke weed, right? And that one would like imagine just like kind of being out of it a little bit, and then like hearing this, like it's the right. CD skipping,
break,
I'm waiting on it to like kick in and all of that kind of deal. So it's just like, oh man,
nah,
but
yeah.
it was a great time. I really enjoyed that, and it's just the whole authenticity factor and the yes. fact that culture is still alive and well in Houston to this day.
No, yeah.
And that was a great pick.
No,
you know?
Man,
okay,
thank
all right,
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're only a pick though, but shout out to my mom's, Mama Lindsay.
Yes.
Hey, you came through in the cluster that one. So moms, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for that pick. Like yes. I really, really appreciate you for that one though, man. So I mean, definitely like that was just a slapper for me this whole week. So I mean, like, you know, like that album, it's a classic. Say what you guys want to say. Like, that is a classic.
I don't dispute it. Yeah. I just kind of hate that little puppet song.
Oh, girl.
That's man, that Sam Cooke sample there. It's like, it was one of those times. But that's my personal thing. But aside from that, that Sitting Sideways, and like I was saying, I got the internet going nuts. That definitely was a MySpace.
That was
a MySpace. That was
for
like
real.
You just really had to be there.
Right.
That's one of the things about Instagram. Not just Instagram, because Instagram is like, okay, you could do your whole story
right,
aspect.
Right.
But as far as the Facebook, that was like one of the hardest transitions for me.
Oh my
initially
God.
Because it's like, okay, so where do I put my music?
Music, yeah. Facebook ain't got no music.
No, nah, man, because that was one of the biggest things about
yeah.
MySpace, being able to pick that song, and then you got the header, you know, like,
nah,
I got like
real.
The title,
hey.
I Know You Envy Me,
right,
and all
right,
that kind of
right.
crazy shit
right.
or whatever.
Wasn't nothing like, you know, either whether y'all was at school, college, or even community college, ain't nothing like getting to the computer, logging on, new friend request, new
oh,
comments,
man.
New messages.
To
yeah.
have them all lit up.
Looked like, yeah, when that was all lit up, oh, you
and it was. We gave them an opportunity to build up, because you could be out all day and not be able to get to your MySpace
right.
to like log in to actually check your
right.
to check your notifications.
And yeah.
And we know this was before, you know, for our young audience. This
right,
was
our
before
youngins.
You even could even do these things on your cell phone. I remember I thought that like I would like, of course, Sidekick and all of that kind of deal. You know, I was on a Sidekick wave, the first Sidekick. Then I had
yeah.
slid over and became Team Trio.
Oh, and trio one man. I felt very important
with my trio, being able to pull out my little stylus and motherfucking tapping the screen and everything. I felt so important with that thing. And then, you know, like all of that, right. Like being able to go to YouTube and all that. And it's just amazing on just witnessing how much technology is just.
Just changed. And you already know, I'm going to just put that out there, you know, niggas or women. Yeah. We was all getting in trouble if you wasn't on a person's top eight. If some person wasn't on your top eight, you in trouble.
Oh, that was the moment. And then some people would get jazzy and just kind of turn it into a top four.
Right.
That way they didn't have to deal with it and everything and put Tom in a top four just so that they didn't have to deal with the whole situation and everything. Or they would hide their top eight. I had got so jazzy with the coding and everything. I would know how to like click and, you know, do all that kind of stuff, like take certain aspects of it out. And it was just amazing once we started getting into it. It wasn't LOL Smiley Face. It was Shorty Like Mine. That was the Bow Wow video. When he was able to flip through the screens.
Yeah.
That was like pretty much the end of MySpace. But like MySpace started having those interactive screens and shit where they would come in and slide in and all that.
That was tight.
That was really. And then it also introduced me to a lot of artists on there as well, because we ended up the first time I ever heard Drake, and one of my biggest regrets from MySpace era is that I could have got the comeback season. I could have got that autograph for like $20 back then.
Shit.
Off of his, because like he, like, you know, following him and everything. This is when he still was like Jimmy DeGrassi, and I was following him because I was a DeGrassi fan.
And this was, you know, people always try to, I know how I feel about him, corny Drake though, but this was when I actually liked Drake. This was Backpack Drake. This was when Drake was rapping over J Dilla,
and rapping with Little Brother. He had that song with Fontaine.
Yeah,
and
this all is that. A this Drake is, that
was
I
him.
Liked.
I feel as though that was him being himself. Self.
Yes,
and all this
yes.
that we get now is just like whatever. I choose not to even go down that rabbit hole, but. That was one of the things. And then also, like, we just got so much music back then that you can't really get unless you go to YouTube. And then some of those artists, they never even put their music on YouTube.
I remember hearing first about Miguel on MySpace. Miguel on MySpace. It was like what you said, a lot of people that we grew to love now.
Yeah, like you and I got you and I off of there. I had Holly Weird on there. It was this group, like I feel like I mentioned them like in one of my first episodes, but Supreme, they were on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they were real smooth. It's just like, and it's like, damn, where are these guys now? And even down to Dom Kennedy and just like some of those that are actually still doing numbers to this day, still circulating. But it was such an amazing, you know, amazing experience.
Man,
but
amazing
time. Set all that to say that the internet going nuts, that was definitely one of the hot picks there. That was one of those songs that was on absolutely everybody's page. Between Internet Going Nuts and DJ Play This Play a Love Song Jamie Foxx.
All the songs. I think you was a player from the Himalayas.
Oh man, you already know it. It was just the slideshows and all of that. I was real interactive, and because it was like I love music so much, and to be able to like have a platform to be able to do both, like be social and have the music taste there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Neo was first coming out and all of that good jazz. Yep. So that was amazing. But, you know, now I get my Instagram stories and I get to go on ahead and like kind of, you know, get my little, not say flex on, but get my little.
Man, fuck that. You do. You're good. You're great.
You got it.
You're great.
Hey, it's so funny because it was like, it's a talent to find that 15-second clip to express what you're trying to depict in there. But my homeboy Terrell, he's like, you're at God level on that.
Right. I'm like off of Wayne's World. We're not worthy.
You gotta really listen to lyrics to be able to. I promise you, it's a joy. Yeah, but for those that get it, those that don't. But no, this has definitely been another amazing episode.
Absolutely. Yes. And you guys go ahead, you know, my people, everybody that tunes in. If you never heard this album, go check it out. For real. This is a classic. And once you finish it, you're going to understand why Paul Wall, the People Champs, is a fucking classic. Like,
absolutely.
For
so, and for those of you guys last week, all of our Apple listeners and everything, just so you guys know, it's technical difficulties from upload last week. So if you guys are, if you guys want to go ahead and backtrack and hear all the shenanigans from last week, we are officially on YouTube. As well as all the other platforms. So that episode.
Spotify, iHeart, SoundCloud, Google Play. We're on all of these shit. So, yeah, man.
Yeah,
like,
so it's uploaded on all of those platforms. Yes. But just so you guys know, we're in the heart of being consistent and everything. For those that are looking for that particular episode, it is there. And this one should, you know, definitely be all good to go.
Definitely so. But, yeah, I have fun with you today.
I always have fun, my man. It's always, you know, it's always great to get together and just kind of go back and forth and all that good jazz. So,
And the fact that you like black shoes. We actually found a shoe that Nikki like, and it's black.
You like black shoes. That was I gave a compliment to one pair of shoes, and that equated into me liking black shoes.
I'm taking it and running with it.
Okay, please go on ahead. Go on ahead and get your Michael Johnson on that one. Like, go on ahead and what's my guy off of Higher Learning? Malik. Go ahead and get your Malik on. But run, nigga, run. But nah, those Stussies, those aren't bad. You know, I don't, you know, we'll see how that goes, because I think that definitely that one's going to be on the sneakers app, and I don't know if anybody's going to be able to get their hands on it, so we'll see.
Guys, thank you for tuning in with us again. Thank you for, you know, all the support. Go ahead, rate, subscribe, leave a comment on all our social platforms, and go ahead and on YouTube, hit that notification bell, you know, when this pops up. Subscribe to our channel, Lace Rhymes. Subscribe to everything that we're on, Apples, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeart, Podbay, Podbean, you name it, we own it.
Absolutely, and if we're not,
we own it.
Okay, you name it,
we own it.
Okay,
you name it, we own it.
Oh,
you name it. We own it.
Okay. If you name it, we own it. Right. That was $1 million flow right there.
Right.
But anywho, and if not, please let us know so we can make sure that we're on it.
Absolutely, though. But until then, this your boy, Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
Lace Rhymes, we out.
Yep.